socialize with me, since I work for him. Daphne hadn't answered right away.
What do you mean?
She finally asked.
Well, you and I are so close, best friends, and I want Greg to get to know you, since I always tell him how we're like sisters. He's tried to arrange it with Jackson, but he always makes an excuse. Can you get him to do it? Of course, Daphne had. She would pretty much do anything Amber wanted. Amber'd play the little sister card, and Daphne would fold. She suspected that Jackson was a snob at heart and didn't consider her worthy of him socially. She didn't hold it against him. She'd feel the same in his position. But she also noticed the way his body stayed a little closer to her when they were reviewing a document, the way his eyes held hers just a moment longer than necessary. And when he saw her with Greg, she hoped the seeds of jealousy would take root and hasten the seduction. She took her time getting dressed and dabbed on the perfume that Daphne was now allergic to. Maybe it would make her eyes water, Amber thought spitefully. The dress was just low-cut enough to show off her cleavage, but not so low as to be slutty. She wore 5-inch heels, wanting to be taller than Daphne for a change, since Daphne had hurt her ankle playing tennis and was stuck in sensible shoes until it healed. Greg picked her up right on time, and she ran down the stairs to his waiting Mercedes convertible. She loved slipping into the luxurious car and being seen in it as they drove around. Sometimes he let Amber drive it, and she loved the feel of this singularly superior vehicle. Greg loved pampering her, and she milked it for all it was worth. She got in, admiring the saddle leather, and leaned in close to kiss him. He was a good kisser, at least, and when she closed her eyes, she could pretend it was Jackson's tongue in her mouth. "Mmm, you're delicious," she said, sliding back over. "But we'd better get going. Don't want to keep Daphne and Jackson waiting." Greg took a deep breath and nodded. "I'd much rather sit here kissing you." Even his lines were dull. She feigned desire. "Me too, but you promised you'd take it slow. I told you how hurt I was in my last relationship. I'm not ready yet." She gave him a pretty pout. He took off, and they made small talk on the way to the club. They pulled through the gates right behind Jackson's Porsche Spyder. "Park next to them, and we can walk in together." She wanted Jackson to see her walking next to Daphne. Daphne and she got out of their cars at the same time, and Amber walked over to give her a kiss, noticing that Daphne was carrying the new Hermes purse. "Good timing."
Daphne smiled and gave her arm a squeeze.
"Love your bag,"
Amber said, trying to make herself sound sincere.
"Oh, thanks," she shrugged. "Just a little gift from Jackson."
She looked over at him and smiled.
"He's so good to me."
"Lucky lady," Amber said, wanting to spit. The four of them walked in together, and Amber had to struggle to keep her eyes off Jackson and on Greg. After they'd been seated and gotten their drinks, Greg lifted his glass.
"Cheers! So glad we were finally able to get together."
He put his arm around Amber.
"I can't thank you enough for introducing me to this gem."
Amber leaned over next to Greg and kissed him. When she sat back up, she tried to gauge Jackson's reaction, but his expression was unchanged.
"We're glad it worked out. I had a feeling you two would be perfect for each other,"
Daphne answered. Amber snuck a glance at Jackson. He was frowning. Good. Licking her lips, she raised her glass of wine and took a long swallow, then looked at Greg.
"You were right. This is a better choice than the house Cabernet. I wish I knew as much about wines as you."
"I'll teach you," he answered with a smile. "Actually," Jackson said, "the 1987 vintage was better."
He gave Greg an apologetic look.
Sorry, old chap, but I'm something of a sommelier. I'll order a bottle, and you'll taste the difference.
No worries. That's the year I was born, so it was a good year, Greg answered, perfectly seriously. Amber had to struggle to keep from laughing. Greg had put Jackson in his place even though he was too thick to realize it. But of course Jackson picked up on it right away. No matter how much more money or smarts Jackson had, he couldn't make himself 15 years younger. Obviously, age is what makes a wine so much more desirable. The older, the better, Amber said, slowly moving her tongue along her lips and looking at Jackson. 28. Amber was about to get a new glimpse into the parish's life. When she did the bills, she had seen that they rented a house on Lake Winnipesaukee from Memorial Day to Labor Day, although they probably used it less than an accumulated 4 weeks. Amber was curious to see what kind of place warranted such an exorbitant rental fee, and today she would. She was waiting for Daphne to pick her up for a weekend at the lake house in New Hampshire. Jackson was on another of his many business trips abroad. At 8:30 sharp, the white Range Rover pulled up. Daphne jumped out of the car and opened the back hatch for Amber's luggage.
Good morning.
Daphne hugged her and then took the bag from her.
So glad you're coming with us.
Me too.
It was a 4.5-hour drive to Wolfboro, but it seemed to go quickly with the girls sleepy and quiet in the back as Amber and Daphne chatted up front.
How are things at the office? Are you still liking it now with all the responsibilities?
I really love it. Jackson's a great boss. She looked at Daphne.
But you must know that.
I'm glad. By the way, I never thanked you for pinch-hitting for me the time you went to see Hamlet with him. Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was so different to see it on stage. I'm sorry you had to miss it.
I'm not a huge Shakespeare fan, Daphne chuckled. I know that's an awful thing to admit, but I'm more suited to Broadway musicals. Jackson, on the other hand, adores Shakespeare.
She took her eyes from the road and glanced briefly at Amber.
He has tickets to The Tempest. I think it's the week after next.
Since you enjoyed Hamlet, if you don't mind, I'll ask him to take you instead.
I'm sure he would want you to go.
Amber didn't want to seem overly anxious.
He'll love the idea of introducing you to more Shakespeare. And besides, you'd be doing me a big favor. I'd much rather be at home with the girls than listening to language I don't understand half of.
This was too delicious.
Daphne was practically handing Jackson to her on the proverbial silver platter.
Well, when you put it that way, I guess it would be okay.
Good. That's settled, then.
Will your mom be coming to stay at all? I imagine she's not too far from here.
She noticed Daphne's hand tighten on the wheel.
New Hampshire's bigger than you think. She's actually a couple of hours away.
Amber waited for her to go on, but there was an awkward silence. She decided not to press it. A few minutes later, Daphne looked into the rearview mirror and spoke to the girls.
We've got about an hour left. Everyone okay, or do we need a bathroom break?
The girls said they were fine, and Amber and Daphne chatted about their plans for the rest of the day once they got to the house. They arrived at the charming little town of Wolfboro around lunchtime and continued to the lake house, passing mile after mile of sparkling water and verdant hillsides. The homes along the banks were an exciting combination of old and new, some imposingly important, and others small and eclectic. Amber was enchanted by the clear call of summer pleasures that seemed to hover over everything. Daphne pulled into the driveway, and the moment they opened the doors, the smell of honeysuckle and pine filled the car. Amber stepped onto the gravel, which was covered in pine needles,
and breathed in the fresh air. This was paradise.
If everyone grabs something, we can do this in one trip, Daphne called from the back of the rover. Bags in hand, with even Bella helping out, they walked down the dirt path leading to the house. Amber stopped and stared, open-mouthed, at the structure in front of her, an immense three-story cedar house abounding with porches, balconies, and white railings. Beyond it stood a large octagonal gazebo and a small boathouse that overlooked the pristine waters. The inside of the house was homey and comfortable, with old pine floors and cushioned furniture that invited relaxation. The front porch spanned the entire front of the house and looked over the lake.
"Mom! Mom! Mom!"
Bella had already gone upstairs and changed into her bathing suit.
"Can we go swimming now?"
"In a bit, sweetheart. Wait till we all get into our swimsuits." Bella plopped herself onto one of the sofas to wait. The lake water was cold and clean. It took a while for them all to get used to it, but soon they were squealing and splashing and laughing. Amber and Daphne took a break and sat on the edge of the pier, legs dangling in the water as they watched the girls swim. The afternoon sun warmed their shoulders as the cold lake water dripped from their hair. Daphne kicked up a splash of water and turned to Amber.
"You know," she said, "I feel closer to you than anyone I know. It's almost as if I have my sister back." She looked out over the lake. "This is exactly what Julia and I would be doing now if she were alive. Sitting here watching the girls, just enjoying being together." Amber tried to think of a sympathetic response and then said,
"It's very sad. I understand. I know you do. It hurts me to think of all the things I would love to be sharing with her. But now, with you, I can do that. It's not the same, of course, and I know you understand what I mean. But it makes me a little happier that we can make it hurt less. Just think, when Bella and Tallulah are grown, they'll sit together like this. It's nice that they'll have each other."
"You're right. But I've always felt it was a shame we didn't have more. Did Jackson want to stop it too?"
Daphne leaned back and looked up at the sky.
"Quite the opposite. He was desperate for a son."
She squinted and put her hand up to shield her eyes from the light. Turning to Amber, she said,
"It never happened, though. We tried and tried, but I never got pregnant after Bella."
"I'm sorry," Amber said. "Did you think of trying fertility treatments?"
Daphne shook her head.
"I didn't want to be greedy. I felt like we'd been blessed with two healthy children, and I should be grateful for that. It was really only because Jackson had always wanted a boy."
She shrugged.
"He talked about having a little Jackson Jr."
"It could still happen, right?"
"I guess anything is possible, but I've given up hoping for it."
Amber nodded solemnly, though she was dancing inside. So he wanted a boy, and Daphne couldn't deliver. This was the best news yet. They were both quiet, and then Daphne spoke again.
"I've been thinking, you shouldn't have to do that commute every day while the apartment is just sitting there, empty. You're more than welcome to stay at the apartment the nights Jackson isn't there."
Amber was genuinely floored.
"I don't know what to say."
Daphne put her hand on top of Amber's.
"Say nothing. That's what friends are for."
29. Amber was looking forward to sleeping in Daphne's bed tonight. She was going to take Daphne up on her offer to use the apartment for the weekend. Since it was the last week in August, and Jackson had been telecommuting from the lake, the apartment was available. Amber had no big plans for the weekend,
so she'd spend Saturday roaming around Manhattan. She texted Daphne to let her know and to thank her. She hadn't been there in a while, and was taken aback again at the sheer elegance and luxury. She imagined that bastard back home and his snotty mother. If they could see her in this palatial apartment. She flung off her heels and stepped barefoot onto the fluffy carpet. Then, sinking into the white, half-moon sofa, she surveyed her surroundings with pleasure. It almost felt as if it were hers. She put her head back and closed her eyes, feeling incredibly indulged. After a few minutes, she went into the master bedroom to search for a robe. Amber chose a gorgeous Fleur number in silk and lace. It felt like a warm, sultry breeze gliding over her skin. Next, she opened Daphne's drawers and picked a white pair of fox and rose lace panties that made her feel like a seductress. Not that she had anyone to seduce, but it felt good nonetheless. She went into the bathroom and brushed out her long hair, now even blonder from her frequent trips to the salon. It fell loosely around her shoulders, thick and shiny. Maybe not as beautiful as Daphne, but certainly younger. She looked over at the bed, which was covered in a downy, pale green comforter. She would sleep here tonight and pretend it was all hers. See how it felt to be Daphne. She sat on the bed and bounced a few times, and then she lay down and spread out. It was like being hugged by a thousand clouds. How lovely it would be to wake up whatever time she chose in this heavenly room, and then explore the city. What could be a more perfect Friday and Saturday? Amber nestled a little longer. The rumbling in her stomach reminded her that she hadn't eaten since breakfast. She reluctantly rose and padded into the kitchen. She'd picked up a salad from the market, and she scraped it out of its container and onto one of Daphne's china plates. She'd opened a bottle of Malbec earlier, and now poured herself a glass. After her dinner, she put a few jazz CDs in the player and sat with her second glass of wine, thinking about what she would do tomorrow. Maybe the Guggenheim or the Whitney. The third disc was playing when Amber heard a noise outside the apartment. She bolted to a standing position and listened. Yes, definitely. It was the elevator. Suddenly, the doors opened and Jackson walked in. He looked surprised.
Amber, what are you doing here?
She pulled the robe tighter around herself. Daphne gave me a key and said I could use it if I was too tired to get the train. She said she told you. I figured with all of you at the lake, it would be empty. I'm sorry, I had no idea you were coming. She blushed. He dropped his briefcase and shook his head.
It's fine. I should have let you know.
I thought you were staying at the lake until Sunday night.
It's a long story. Let's just say I've had better weeks.
Well, I'll go and get my things and get out of your way. She hated to go, but figured he'd expect her to offer. He shook his head and moved past her toward the bedroom.
It's late. You should feel free to stay till morning. I'm going to go change.
She heard him on the phone, but couldn't make out what he was saying. He stayed in the bedroom for close to an hour, and Amber wondered if he was ever going to come out. She debated changing from the robe into some clothes, but decided against it. She had a good feeling about tonight. She sat back down with her glass of wine and a magazine, waiting for him. He finally came out, got a drink, and sat down on the other end of the sofa. He seemed to register what she was wearing for the first time.
That robe looks nice on you. A little tight for Daphne lately.
She's gained a little weight. It happens to the best of us, Amber said, choosing her words carefully.
She's not been herself lately.
I've noticed that too.
Whenever we're together, she seems distracted, like something's on her mind.
Has she said anything to you? About being unhappy or anything?
I really wouldn't want to repeat anything she said to me, Jackson. He sat up straight.
So she has said something to you.
Please, if she's not happy, that's something you and Daphne need to discuss.
She told you she's not happy?
Well, not in so many words. I don't know. I don't want to betray a confidence.
He took a long swallow from his glass.
Amber, if there's something I should know, something that can help, then tell me, please.
I don't think you want to hear what I have to say.
Tell me.
She let out a sigh and allowed the robe to fall open just enough to show a teasing bit of cleavage.
Daphne told me the sex is boring and routine, and that she's thrilled every month when she gets her period and knows she's not pregnant. She pretended to look nervous.
But please don't tell her I told you. She told me how much you want a boy, and she might not want you to know she doesn't feel the same way.
He was speechless. I'm sorry, Jackson. I didn't want to tell you, but you're right. You have a right to know how she feels. Just, please, don't say anything to Daphne.
He remained silent, his face red and set with a grim expression that Amber saw only rarely. He was furious. She rose from the sofa and walked toward him. She made sure her robe opened slightly against her leg as she approached him. She stood in front of him and put her hand on his cheek.
Whatever is going on, I'm sure it will pass. How could anyone be unhappy with you, Jackson?
He took her hand from his face and held it. Amber ran her other hand through his hair, and he moaned, but then slowly pushed her away.
Forgive me, Amber. I'm not myself.
She sat next to him.
I understand. It's hard when you discover someone you love doesn't want the same thing you do.
He gazed steadily at her.
Did she really say those things? That she was happy every time she knew she wasn't pregnant?
She did. I'm sorry.
I can't believe it. We've talked about how wonderful it would be. I just can't believe it.
He put his head in his hands, his elbows resting on his knees. Amber caressed his back.
Please don't tell Daphne I told you. She made me promise to keep her secret.
She thought for a moment, and then decided to go all the way.
You know, she said sadly. She was kind of laughing about it, about how she fooled you and you never even realized.
She prayed the lie wouldn't blow up in her face, but she needed to move this game forward. When Jackson looked up at her, his eyes were filled with confusion and pain.
She laughed about it? How could she?
She put her arms around his neck and pulled him close to her.
I don't understand it either. Let me help you, she said, kissing his cheek.
He pushed her away again.
Amber, no. This is wrong.
Wrong? And what she's done is right? Betraying you? Laughing at you?
Amber rose and stood before him once again.
Let me make you feel good. It doesn't have to change anything.
He shook his head.
I can't think right now.
I'm here for you. That's all you have to think about.
She slowly untied the sash of her robe and let it fall from her shoulders, standing before him in only the lace panties. He looked up at her, and she pulled his head toward her until it was buried against her belly. She pushed him back so she could straddle his lap, and once she had, she put her mouth against his ear and whispered how much she wanted him as she moved her hips and ground against him. She found his lips and thrust her tongue deep inside his mouth.
She felt his resistance weaken as he pulled her closer to him and returned her kiss. Their lovemaking was fierce and powerful. They barely let go of each other when they moved into the bedroom in the middle of the night. Finally, at dawn, they fell into a deep and satisfying slumber. Amber awoke first. She turned on her side and looked at Jackson, sleeping next to her. He had been an expert lover, an added bonus, and one she hadn't expected. She was so used to planning every move that it now seemed impossible that their being alone together in the apartment had happened so serendipitously. She closed her eyes and lay back against the pillow. Jackson stirred beside her, and then she felt his hand gliding up her thigh. They stayed in bed until after 12, dozing off and on. Amber was still half asleep when Jackson got up to shower and dress. He was in the kitchen making coffee when she came out, now in a long white t-shirt of Daphne's. "Good morning, Superman." She moved toward him, but he backed away.
"Listen, Amber, this can't happen again. I'm sorry. I love Daphne. I would never want to hurt her. You understand, don't you?"
Amber felt as if she'd been struck. She took a moment to think things through, to alter her game plan. There was no way she was going to let him cast her aside.
"Of course I understand, Jackson. Daphne's my best friend, and the last thing I would ever want is for her to be hurt. But don't beat yourself up. You're a man, and you have needs. There's no reason for you to be ashamed of that. I'm here for you whenever you want. Just between us. Daphne doesn't need to know."
Jackson looked at her.
"That's hardly fair to you."
"I would do anything for you. So hear me again. Whenever you want. No questions asked, no strings attached, and no spilling secrets."
She put her arms around his neck and felt his close around her.
"You're making it impossible for me to resist you," he whispered, his lips against her ear.
She pulled slightly away and looked up into his eyes as her hand moved below his waist to caress him.
"Ah."
He put his head back and closed his eyes in pleasure.
"Why would you try to resist me?"
Her voice was silky.
"I told you. I'm here for you. Come to me for whatever you need. Our little secret."
30. Amber clutched a silky pillow to her, closing her eyes to get a few more minutes of sleep. She and Jackson had been sleeping together for over 2 months now, and they had stayed up all night making love. She was drifting off again when she felt him shaking her arm.
"You've got to get up. I forgot. Matilda's here to clean."
Her eyes flew open.
"What should I do?"
"Get dressed. Go in the guest room and make it look like you stayed there last night. We'll have to make something up for Daphne."
Annoyed, she threw on the robe at the foot of the bed and ran down the hallway to the guest room. Would it be so terrible if Daphne found out? Yes, it was too soon. She had to make sure he was firmly in her grasp before anything happened to jeopardize her position. Outside of his office, she was the consummate professional, but inside, with the door shut, she used every trick at her disposal to make sure he couldn't get enough of her. It got a little tiresome, especially his affinity for blowjobs, but she could retire her services after she had a ring on her finger. And afterward, she demanded nothing and went about the day as if they had nothing more than a professional relationship. They usually stayed together at the apartment a few nights a week. She loved that the best, waking up next to him in that fabulous apartment as if it was all hers. Now she made sure to schedule late appointments and dinners for him, so he'd be more inclined to spend the night. And she always had an overnight bag at the ready. It was becoming harder and harder to play the part of Daphne's best friend. She hated having to pretend that she was nothing more than Jackson's assistant, that she didn't know every inch of his body, probably better than his own wife did. For now, though, she had to play it cool. But when Daphne phoned to send her on an errand, she was livid. "Amber, dear, can you do me a big favor?" Daphne had asked.
"What is it, Daphne?"
"Bella has a party to go to, and needs an accessory for one of her American Girl dolls. I just can't get into the city in time. Would you mind picking it up for me and bringing it to the house?" She damn well did mind. She wasn't Daphne's servant. Amber had planned to stay overnight at the apartment, but now she had to change her plans.
"Certainly, Daphne. What is it?"
she said with a distinct lack of enthusiasm. "She wants the pretty city carriage. They're going to pretend they're in Central Park. I've called and charged it already. They're holding it in your name." Amber was still fuming when her train got into Bishop's Harbor just before 6. She took a cab right to their house and wondered if Jackson had returned from his business trip yet. When she arrived, Daphne was in the kitchen with the girls, and Jackson was nowhere in sight.
"Ah, you're a doll. Thank you," Daphne gushed.
Tilting her head toward Bella, she went on. "I would have had a major meltdown on my hands if you hadn't come through." Amber forced a smile.
"Can't have that."
"Drink?" Daphne held up a bottle of red wine, half empty. It was a little early for her, Amber thought.
"Just one. I have a date with Greg tonight," she lied.
She didn't want to get stuck here all night.
"I see you've gotten a head start."
Daphne shrugged and poured a glass for Amber.
"TGIF."
Amber accepted the glass and took a sip.
"Thanks. Where's Jackson?"
Daphne rolled her eyes.
"In his office. Where else?"
She lowered her voice so the girls wouldn't hear and stood closer to Amber.
"Honestly, he's been gone all week, and the first thing he does when he gets home is complain that Bella left her shoes in the hall." She shook her head. "Sometimes it's easier when he's away."
"Don't worry, honey," Amber wanted to tell her. "You won't have to put up with it for long." She put on her concerned face instead.
"You're ruining my fantasy of marriage," she laughed. "It's okay. After he cooled down, he and I had a little afternoon delight. It was the first time in a while."
She put her hand up to her mouth.
"I can't believe I just told you that. Enough about me. Tell me more about what's going on with Greg."
She linked her arm in Amber's, and they went into the sunroom, Daphne calling over her shoulder,
"Sabine, please give the girls their baths when they finish eating."
"I need to use the restroom," Amber said as she hurried past her.
She went in and slammed the door, her back against it.
Was he getting tired of her already?
Daphne's smug expression infuriated her. It began as a tingling in her fingers, and then she was digging her fingernails into her hands to stop from screaming. She was a furnace, ready to explode, adrenaline pumping through her so fast that she couldn't catch her breath. She wanted to break something. Her eyes went to the delicate green glass turtle on the shelf in front of her. She picked it up and threw it on the floor and stomped on it with both feet, grinding the pieces into the carpet. She hoped Daphne cut her feet on them. She flung the door open and headed back to the sunroom. This is what happened when he got out of her sight for too long. She would have to do something about it, and fast. Daphne patted the seat next to her when Amber walked in.
"So, Spill, how's it going with Greg?"
As far as Greg was concerned,
She saw him just enough to keep Daphne's suspicions at bay. She'd go to dinner with him, usually on a Friday or Saturday night, or she'd play the occasional tennis game at the club with him. He believed her story that she needed more time to get over the abusive ex-boyfriend she'd invented, the one that no one else but he knew about.
"He's very sweet and attentive. I don't see him as much as I'd like because of work." She put her hand up. "Not that I'm complaining. I appreciate my job, believe me."
Daphne smiled. "I know that. Don't worry. The boss's wife won't say anything." Amber was inwardly seething.
"I don't think of you as the boss's wife."
Daphne raised an eyebrow. Amber reached out and squeezed her hand.
"What I mean is, I think of you as my best friend. If I do ever get married, I'd want you to be my matron of honor."
"Aw, you're sweet. I'm probably a little old for that, though." Amber shook her head.
"Of course not. 40 isn't old."
"Excuse me, I'm 38. Don't push me over the hill yet." She knew exactly how old Daphne was. But really, 38, 40, what did it matter? Amber was 26. There was no competing with that.
"Sorry, Daph, I'm awful with ages. You look young anyway."
"Oh, before I forget, I've got some clothes I'm getting rid of, but thought I'd see if you want any of them first," Daphne said. Amber didn't need her cast-offs. She had a whole new wardrobe of her own, thanks to Jackson. But she couldn't show her hand. Not yet.
"That's so nice. I'd love to look at them. Why don't you want them anymore? Do they not fit?"
She couldn't resist. The color rose in Daphne's cheeks.
"Excuse me?"
Amber looked at the floor. How was she going to get out of this one? Before she could say anything else, Daphne spoke again.
"I have gained weight. I can't seem to stop snacking. I eat when I'm stressed, and I'm worried about Jackson. He's acting strange, and I don't understand it."
She sighed loudly.
"Oh, Daph, I wasn't sure if I should tell you, but he has been spending lots of time with one of his vice presidents. She's a new hire, and her name is Bree. I don't know if anything's going on, but they've been taking some awfully long lunches."
Bree was a knockout who had started there a few weeks ago. Amber had actually been wary of her and ready to do some sabotage until she found out Bree was a lesbian. But Daphne didn't know that. Bree and Jackson had been working a lot together, but it was perfectly innocent. And now Daphne would start nagging him about her and drive him right back into Amber's arms. Daphne's hand flew to her mouth.
"I know who you mean. She's gorgeous."
Amber bit her lip.
"I know. She's a real snake, too. I've seen the way she looks at him. She's always putting a hand on his arm or crossing her legs and wearing short skirts. She's rude to me, too. Suddenly going straight to Jackson to make an appointment, like she has special access or something."
"What should I do?" Amber raised her brows.
"I know what I'd do if it were me."
"What?"
"I'd tell him to get rid of her."
Daphne shook her head.
"I can't do that. It's his business. He'll think I'm crazy."
Amber pretended to think.
"I know. Go talk to her."
"I can't do that."
"Sure you can. You come to the office and very quietly tell her that you're on to her, and if she values her job, she'd better leave your husband alone."
"You really think so? Do you want to lose him?"
"Of course not."
"Then yes, get your tail in there and show her who's really boss. I'll make sure to keep him occupied while you do, so he doesn't find out." Daphne took a deep breath.
"Maybe you're right."
Amber smiled. It was perfect. Daphne would embarrass him at his office, which would make him livid.
I'll be behind you all the way.
31. It was becoming more difficult to keep Greg out of her bed. Not that she would have minded taking him for a spin. He was a decent enough kisser, and she could tell he was more than willing to please her. But she couldn't risk it. When she got pregnant, it would be with Jackson's kid, not Greg's. Besides, as soon as her position with Jackson was assured, she'd be kicking Greg to the curb. All she had to do until then was what she'd learned best in high school. Pushing herself up off her knees, she brushed his stomach with her lips, then kissed him on the lips before going into the bathroom to wash her mouth out. He was still standing there, a dazed look on his face, pants around his ankles. He gave her a sheepish look and pulled his trousers up.
"Sorry, you're really out of this world, baby."
He pulled her to him, and she had to resist the urge to squirm out of his arms.
"When are you going to be ready to make love? I don't know how much longer I can take this."
"I know, me too. My doctor said I need to wait another 6 weeks. Then everything will be healed up. It's killing me, too."
He was getting impatient, and she'd had to make up a new excuse. She told a lame story about having some cysts removed that necessitated holding off on intercourse. When she'd started to get graphic, he'd put his hands up and told her to stop, that he didn't need to know the details.
"Better get dressed. We'll be late for the play if we don't start dinner soon," she said sweetly.
"Snap out of it," she wanted to say. They had come into New York to see Fiddler on the Roof and were spending the night at his parents' apartment across from Central Park. Amber had wanted to see Book of Mormon, but when she'd mentioned it, Greg had said he wasn't interested in seeing a religious play. She'd stupidly agreed to prepare dinner for them before the show. Packaged grilled chicken over minute rice and a green salad. Now she was rummaging through cabinets for pots, bowls, and utensils when she felt Greg bump into her from behind. She turned around and stared at him.
"Oh, sorry," he said. "I was trying to help you find things."
"I found everything I need," she answered curtly.
As Amber turned on the faucet to fill the pot, Greg's arm reached out in front of her.
"What are you doing?" she asked.
"I'm trying to help you. I was going to take the pot from you and put it on the stove."
"I think I can handle that," she said, walking to the stove,
but Greg ran ahead of her to turn the burner on, and they collided. The pot bobbled in Amber's hand, and water flew everywhere, soaking the front of Amber's dress.
"Oh my gosh, are you okay?"
Greg said, grabbing a tea towel and pressing it against Amber's dress.
"Are you a flipping moron?"
she almost yelled, but instead smiled thinly and said,
"I'm fine. How about you go sit down, and I'll finish in here."
They arrived at the Broadway Theater in plenty of time, and he went to the bar to get them each a drink. Amber looked around at the magnificent theater while she waited, admiring the grand chandelier in the opulent lobby of red and gold. Greg returned with their drinks, two glasses of white wine, even though she'd repeatedly told him she preferred red.
"Did the moron ever listen?"
"I think you'll be pleased with the seats. Front row orchestra," he said, brandishing the tickets with a flourish.
"Great! A front row seat to all that singing."
Amber had seen the movie, and she didn't really get what all the fuss was about. Fiddler was old news as far as she was concerned. These were his parents' tickets, and apparently even they weren't interested in going.
"Have you seen it before?" she asked.
He nodded.
7 times. It's my favorite play. I just love the music."
"Wow, 7 times. That must be a record," Amber said, looking distractedly around the lobby.
Greg stood up straighter and said with pride, "My family are quite the theater aficionados. Dad buys tickets to all the best shows."
"How nice for you."
"Yes, it is. He's a great man."
"And what about you?"
Amber asked without much interest.
"What do you mean?"
"Are you a great man?" she said, playing with him. Greg chuckled. "I will be one day, Amber. I am being groomed right now to be a great man," he said, looking at her in earnest. "And I hope you will be by my side." Amber controlled the urge to laugh in his face and instead said,
"We'll see, Greg, we'll see. Shall we go take our seats now?"
Amber found she was enjoying the play despite her earlier reservations. Just when she'd begun to think the evening wasn't such a waste after all, Greg started tapping his foot in time to the music. Next, he was humming along, and the people around them began to look over.
"Greg!" she hissed under her breath.
"Huh?"
"You're humming."
"Sorry, it's just so catchy." He quieted down, but then began to bob his head back and forth in time to the music. She wanted to slug him. 3 hours later, they left the theater. Amber came away with a headache.
"Feel like a drink?" Greg asked.
"I guess."
Anything was better than going straight back to his parents' apartment and being pawed.
"How about Cipriani's?"
"That sounds fine. Can we grab a cab, though? I don't want to walk in the rain."
"Of course." "I still don't get what the big deal was when the young daughter married the Russian," Greg said as they were seated in the taxi. "I mean, geez, weren't the Jews complaining about being judged because of their religion? And then Tevye goes and does the same thing."
Amber looked at him in astonishment.
"You do realize that the Russians were the ones making them leave, right? Also, she was marrying outside of her religion." He had seen this 7 times and was still confused.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, it's not very politically correct. But whatever, the music sure is great."
"Do you mind if we skip drinks? My head is pounding. I really need to just go to sleep."
If she had to spend any more time talking to him tonight, she might have to choke him.
"Of course, babe." He gave her a concerned look. "So sorry you don't feel well."
She smiled tightly.
"Thanks."
When they got back to the apartment, she crawled under the covers and curled into a tight ball. She felt the mattress shift as he lay next to her, pressing his body close.
"Want me to massage your temples?" he whispered. "I want you to get lost," she thought.
"No, just let me try and fall asleep."
He draped an arm around her waist.
"I'm right here if you change your mind."
Not for long, Amber thought.
32. A bright beam of light peeked through the heavy bedroom curtains of Amber's room at the Dorchester Hotel, rousing her. She jumped out of bed and pushed back the green drapery to let the full radiance of the sun warm her body. Despite the early hour, there was lots of activity in Hyde Park. Joggers, dog walkers, people on their way to work. They'd been in London 3 glorious days, and Amber was lapping up every minute of it. She was here as Jackson's assistant, as he had brought along the whole family, and she had her own room just down the hall from the family suite. Jackson and Amber worked during the day, while Daphne and the girls went sightseeing. On their second night, they all went to St. Martin's Theater to see The Mousetrap, but last night, Daphne had decided to take Tallulah and Bella to the Royal Ballet to see Sleeping Beauty, while Jackson and Amber went to a business dinner. The truth was, there was no business dinner. Amber and Jackson had spent those 4 hours in her room. He was frenzied after not being able to be alone with her for the last 3 days. He wasn't used to such long dry spells. She'd made sure of that, and when she had her period, she pleased him in other ways. Jackson now stayed at the New York apartment at least 3 nights a week, and Amber stayed with him. Daphne could reach either one of them by cell phone, so there was no way for her to figure out they were together. On the weekends, Amber was usually hanging at the parish house with her good friend Daphne, and on at least 2 occasions, she and Jackson had had sex in the downstairs bathroom while Daphne was putting the girls to bed. The danger of it had been absolutely thrilling. And they had snuck out of the house late one night after Daphne fell asleep on the couch and gone skinny dipping in the heated pool, then did it in the gazebo. He couldn't get enough of her. She had him lassoed, and as soon as she was pregnant, she would tighten the rope. Amber draped her leg over Jackson's body and nestled against his shoulder.
I could stay like this forever, she mumbled sleepily.
Jackson pulled her closer and stroked her thigh.
They'll be back soon. We need to put on our dinner duds and wait for them in the suite.
He rolled over on top of her.
But first...
Amber was meeting Daphne and the girls for breakfast in the hotel, and when she walked in, the striking mix of copper, marble, and butterscotch-colored leather filled her senses once again. Daphne and the children were seated with Sabine at a round table near the middle of the restaurant.
"Good morning," Amber said as she took a seat. "How was the ballet last night?"
Before Daphne could say anything, Bella piped up.
"Oh, Auntie Amber, you would have loved it. Sleeping Beauty was so beautiful."
"I guess that's why they call her Sleeping Beauty," Amber said.
"No, no. They call her that because she fell asleep, and no one could wake her up until the prince kissed her."
Bella's face was flushed with excitement.
"Aunt Amber was kidding. That was a joke, stupid,"
Tallulah said. Bella hit the cereal bowl with her spoon.
"Mom!"
"Tallulah, apologize to your sister at once," Daphne said. Tallulah gave her mother a look.
"Sorry,"
she muttered to Bella.
"That's better,"
Daphne said. "Sabine, will you take Tallulah and Bella for a walk in the park? The barge down the Thames to Greenwich doesn't leave until 11.
"Oui."
She pushed her chair out and looked at Bella and Tallulah.
"Allez, les filles."
Daphne was on her second cup of coffee when Amber's full English breakfast arrived, and she dug into it with gusto. "You have quite an appetite this morning," Daphne commented. Amber looked up from her plate. She realized that she and Jackson had never eaten last night. It had been the last thing on their minds.
"I'm absolutely famished. I hate dinner business meetings. Your food gets cold while you talk, and then it's completely unappetizing. I'm sorry you had to work and miss the ballet. It was superb."
"Me too.
I would much rather have done that."
Daphne absently stirred her coffee for a moment before speaking.
"Amber,"
her voice was low and serious,
"I need to talk to you about something that's been bothering me."
Amber put down her knife and fork.
"What is it, Daph?"
"It's about Jackson."
Amber pushed down the panic threatening to rise.
"What about Jackson?" she said, her face a mask.
"I really do think he's seeing someone."
"Did you talk to Bree?"
"I know it has nothing to do with Bree. She's gay. I met her partner at a party we attended recently. I'm so glad I never went to the office and accused her. But he's been very distant lately. He's spending most of the week at the apartment in New York. He never used to do that. Maybe a night here and there, but it was the exception. Now it seems to be the rule. And even when he's home, he's not really there. His mind is always somewhere else."
She put her hand on Amber's arm. And we haven't made love in weeks and weeks. Nothing could have pleased Amber more. So he wasn't sleeping with Daphne any longer. It didn't surprise her. She made sure she left him satisfied in every way possible. I'm sure you're wrong, she said, putting her hand on Daphne's. He's closing on that huge project in Hong Kong, and it's been brutal. Plus, the time difference between here and there has him on calls at all hours. He's totally exhausted and consumed by it. You have nothing to worry about. As soon as this deal closes, he'll be back to normal. Trust me. You really think so? I do, Amber smiled. But if it makes you feel better, I'll keep my eyes and ears open and let you know if anything looks suspicious. I'd appreciate that. I knew I could count on you. Amber joined them later on the boat ride down the Thames to Greenwich, and together they wended their way up the big hill to the Royal Observatory. They ate lunch in the town and strolled around most of the afternoon, also visiting the National Maritime Museum. By the time they got back to the hotel, Bella and Tallulah were fading and ready for naps. Amber was feeling like she could use a quick nap too, and they all went to their rooms to rest. Amber was out in seconds, and when she awoke, it was 6 o'clock. She called the suite to see what the plan was for dinner. "Did you get some rest?" Daphne asked when she picked up. "I did. How about you?" "Yes, we all slept. I've been up for a while, but Tallulah and Bella just got up. The girls are eating in tonight." Daphne's voice got a little softer. "I think you must be right. Jackson wants a romantic dinner, just the two of us. He apologized for all the nights away and his preoccupation with work. I should have known you were right. Thank you for setting me straight."
"You're welcome."
Amber's voice was strangled. What the hell was he playing at? A romantic dinner with Daphne? After he had made love to Amber that morning? Daphne's voice startled her.
"Thanks again. See you tomorrow."
Amber put the phone down and sat on the bed, stewing. She was furious. Did he think he could just use her and then run back to Daphne? She heard her mother's words, repeated so often that Amber remembered wanting to stuff a rag in her mouth. "Don't be someone's trash can." What a vile admonition, Amber had always thought when she heard her mother say it. But that's precisely what she felt like now. She was putting the finishing touches on her makeup when she heard knocking at her door. She opened it, and Jackson slid in. He looked at her, a puzzled expression forming. "Are you going out?" She smiled, put one leg on the bed, pulled up a sheer stocking, and clipped it to her garter.
"Daphne told me that you had plans, so I called an old friend, and we're meeting for drinks."
"What old friend?" She shrugged.
"Just an old boyfriend. I called my mom earlier today, and she told me he'd moved here a few years ago with his wife." She lied.
Jackson sat on the bed, still looking at her.
"Poor thing. He just got divorced. I thought he could use some cheering up."
"I don't want you to go."
"Don't be silly. He's ancient history."
He grabbed both her hands in his and pushed her backward until she was against the wall. Kissing her hungrily, he moved his body against hers and lifted her skirt above her thighs. Standing up and half undressed, they made love with urgency, and when they were finished, Jackson pulled her to the bed to sit beside him.
"Cancel on him," he said.
"You can't expect me to sit alone in this hotel room while you're out with Daphne. Besides, don't you trust me?"
He stood from the bed, his face red, his hands balled into fists, and glared at her.
"I don't want you going out with another man."
He pulled a box from his pocket.
"This is for you."
He handed it to her, and when she opened it, there sat a magnificent diamond bracelet.
"Wow," she breathed.